Well, the lovely thing about the Vatican is that sometimes they, like all of us, you know, become victims of their own rules, of their own laws, of their own choices of ways to be in the world. So the Catholic priesthood, the Vatican, the Church, teaches most profoundly, is indelible. Once it's given, it cannot be taken away. And the interesting thing about it, for me, theologically, and here we differ from the Orthodox churches, the Catholic Church teaches that priesthood does not come from the Church. It comes from God. And that's why it's called an indelible mark. So it may come through the Church, but it doesn't come from the Church. Whereas the Orthodox churches, they say it comes from the Church. So even when they forbid me to practice, which they have, and don't allow me to be a priest in any official capacity whatsoever, and that's been true for a long time, thank goodness from my psychotherapy degree, I haven't been, you know, they haven't taken my priesthood, but they've taken away my purse.
Okay, so they take away your means for livelihood.
Yes.
But you can continue to be a priest, provided you can maintain yourself. Subsist yourself.
Yes.
And I mean, when you met your husband, I mean, were you still very much a practicing priest at that stage? And was that the sort of impetus for you to come out more? Or were you already out and, I suppose, causing waves and making noise about being gay?
Well, I think a simple answer to that is, this is one of the reasons I'm one of the very few out gay Catholic priests. Once you come out of the closet in the priesthood, you're out. You know, and that is a very unjust and a very pernicious way of instilling fear.
Because, I mean, you're counselling these people who are telling you that they're gay,
yes,
and they're still in the priesthood, and they're looking at you thinking, well, he's out and he's made a life for himself.
They see what's happened to him, though. They see what's happened to him and say, you know, we're not going on that cross. You know, Jesus' beautiful phrase is, the truth will set you free. Jesus forgot to add, it also crucifies you. You know, especially the truth of your human sexuality as a gay man. So while they would look to me, and indeed I'm a founder of a movement in London for gay priests and have ran it for 26 years and have seen, I would say, hundreds of priests, many of whom would admire me and respect me but wouldn't want in any way to follow me because of their fear of losing their jobs, losing their security, losing their identity, their inability and unwillingness to train for something else, their age concern, etc., etc. So while some do, in light of, say, the organization which I founded, when they come to these meetings and work stuff through, some do decide to leave. In my case, it's a little more complicated in the sense that when I met Billy Desmond 20 years ago, he was very clear, even though he's much younger than I, he said, you know, whatever he said, like, admire you, respect you, love you, but there's no way I'm going to be involved with you unless you put me first. Now, by that he meant he wasn't being selfish, he was being quite healthy, as he is, and saying, like, we can't get married because we couldn't even have a civil partnership, but if I'm to be in a relationship with you, I'm to be your man, not the Catholic Church, not your priesthood. I will support you as a priest, I will in every possible conceivable way allow you to do priesthood, but not at my expense. And he was very wise, because so many women I know and so many men I know have been left in the lurch when push comes to shove by priests they fell in love with, by priests they gave their lives to, by priests who lied to them and then ditched them. And
that's a terrible deception, isn't it?
Terrible deception. a terrible deception and...
Almost abusive in a way, or it's almost an abusive relationship.
Well, we used to say in New York, don't ever fall in love with a priest because you'll make a very unhappy widow. You'll be the last to know when he's dead. And it's happened. I'm going back to the 80s. It's happening now. And there are so many stories. I mean, even our name in Irish, Machan Taggart, the son of the priest. You know, MacTaggart in English. You know, it's been going on for centuries.
It is interesting when you point that out.
Yes, it's not new. But you know, and we can laugh at a level, and it's good to bring humor into it because human nature is human nature. But as you said there, it's very abusive. And it's always so derogatory of the spouse or the other person.
Well, it is. I mean, you're deceiving them. You're implying that the relationship is something that it isn't.
Yeah. Well, yes. Well, Billy called my bluff before we even got off the ground. Now, naturally, at that time, and since I came out of the closet, I made the world my closet. I didn't come out of the closet. I made the world my closet. It was easier. In the 80s, I guess, I came out in, I suppose, like, it was a gradual process, but I was out on television, 86, 87, whatever, it was a long time ago. So I had lost my ability then, according to the Catholic Church, to minister publicly as a priest. So when he came along 20 years later or whatever, 10 years later...
Well, in it, a way, you hadn't as much to lose.
Well, I hadn't much to lose. And I had... Well, one could be, without sounding pious, one could say God looked after me in his own way. I had another way of earning my living. I had still a congregation, and always will have, of LGBTQI people and other people who are disillusioned with the church, who seek a priest for all kinds of reasons but don't want to truck with misogyny or homophobia or divorced and all that. I mean, I have a wedding coming up in September where I am blessing the marriage of a Catholic man and a Muslim woman, and I'm performing it with the Iman. You know, and I get lots of invitations and opportunity to bring God's love to light in that kind of way, which I just regard such a privilege and such a joy, because a lot of people out there, they are deeply spiritual, irrespective of their non-churchiness. In fact, I think there's nothing more apt to disguise the face of God than religion.
That's quite a statement, isn't it?
It is, but it's true. I believe all religion is man-made, including my own. And that's part of the problem. I think God, Christ, transcends all religion and will ultimately judge religion for what it does in his or her name. God's love is not conditioned by our silliness and our sinfulness and our limitations. God's love is conditional, and that's my greatest hope, that it is, and that's what keeps me going. I absolutely believe that there is nothing a woman or a man can do that alienates them from the love of God. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. And that's what kept me going during the AIDS crisis. And that's all I had to offer. I have no proof. I had no saintly visions of any kind. But I have that absolute, indelible, unshakable hope that if there is a God, and I believe there is, that God's name and nature is love, and that God does not know how not to love us.